Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, my title this morning, and I don't usually give my title right off the bat, but my title this morning I put in there just because I thought it sounded a little catchier than the first one I came up with. And I call the title of today's message, A Crown for Christmas. How many of you would like to get a crown for Christmas? Well, as a couple of people would anyway. Well, you know, as we approach the season of where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and I know there's, you know, controversy as to when he was actually born, and we're pretty much assured it was not really December 25th, but that's the day that we have chosen to celebrate his birth. And some of these other things that we can discuss about that, but we celebrate the particular time, and we celebrate it as a time of giving gifts. The unfortunate thing is the person whose birthday we're celebrating tends to not be the one getting the gifts. Did you ever notice that? We give gifts to each other, and one person I was talking about in this interview, they asked a person, he said he was an atheist. Well, do you celebrate Christmas? Yeah. See, even the atheists celebrate Christmas, you know, so they give gifts to one another and so on. And so even those who do not acknowledge God celebrate a time of gift-giving. And yet, a lot of times we leave God out of the picture. I would say that the vast majority of the people, when they celebrate Christmas, leave God out of the picture. We think about it in the secular realm. In fact, now, within the secular realm, they're leaving Jesus out of Christmas even, taking the Christ out of Christmas, and it's just become the holiday season. And of course, we've got some other phony baloney holidays thrown in there, and there may be somebody that hears this message that disagrees with that, but that's what I'll call them. And that are around there that are getting, if you want to give gifts for them, fine, go ahead. But let's don't mess with the celebration of the birth of Jesus. So God has given us a great gift. He gave us a gift that is beyond comprehension almost as to what he did for us. Because you see, the birth of his only begotten son in human form was a gift that every Christian should be thinking about as we go into this season. God so loved us that he gave us this gift that we could have eternal life. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." God came and walked in human flesh. He was with us. And then, of course, his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, his death, his burial, his resurrection, all so that we might have salvation, that we might have that gift that God wanted to give to us. Because it also tells us in Matthew chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." His gift to us, eternal life, eternal life. Think about that. But I want you to think about something else too, because as Christians, we do tend to think about eternal life. We think about the gift that God has given us. But you know what? That spirit, that soul in us never dies. It's going to go one of two places. And God gave us a gift that is beyond anything that we could comprehend, a gift that we could be with him forever and forever. Throughout eternity, we can be with God. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," who is whosoever? That means me. That means you. It means you. It means you. It means you. It means every living being that has ever been born has the opportunity to take part in that gift. God so loved us that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. everlasting life. That is the greatest gift that mankind could ever receive, is the gift that God gave us through the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, and His death, burial, and resurrection, that we could have eternal life, the opportunity to spend eternity in the presence of God. What a great gift. And yet, a lot of times, even in Christian homes, we tend to forget about it. We get up on Christmas morning and we tear open the packages that are under the tree. I got this, I got that, I got that. You know, it's all what's under that tree for me. Now, I know everyone's not quite that way, but some people are. We should be, first of all, thinking it's what God has given to us first and foremost. Be thankful for that gift He has given us. If you walk into your living room on Christmas morning and there is nothing under your tree, or you don't even have a tree, you still, as a Christian, have had and already received the greatest gift that you could ever get, the gift of salvation. You say, well, it's a great gift. You know, some people try to top things off with gifts. I've got to give this bigger gift and a bigger gift. I've got to top that gift. You know, some people get in competition on this, you know. Well, the gifts that God gave us didn't stop with that. Did you ever stop to think about it? That's not the only gift He has given us. He has given us gift after gift after gift. The fact that you're able to be here this morning is a gift that God gave you. Some of you have been sick. Some of you have had other things happen to you over the last few years even. And you are here today because of the gift that God gave you. As we look around, we're blessed. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. I am thankful for the gifts that God has given me, and the places that He's put me in. And even though there's been some tough spots in my life, I'm thankful for that because it made me who I am today, and it has strengthened me, it's encouraged me, because I know God is with me. As I said, the gifts don't stop there, because Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 14, verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you." He has a place prepared for you, for me, in His Father's house. He said, "I'm going to prepare that place for you." He goes on to say that where I am, there ye may be also. Someday we are going to be dwelling there with Him in His presence. The gift that God has given us. He goes on throughout Scripture telling us of other gifts that He has given us. One, for example, in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father." We don't have to speak about God using just the term God. We can speak to Him and say, "Father," because He is our Father. He tells us we have been adopted into His family. We are now a part of the family of God. There's a chorus we've sang in church, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. As Christians, we become a part of that family. That's why I believe that there are times, many times, when you can go in to a church building, become a part of a congregation of people that love God and serve God, and you become close to one another. When you hurt, they hurt. And when they hurt, you hurt. You become a part of that family. And quite frankly, many times that family may become closer than your flesh and blood family because you have that kindred spirit. You are serving the same Father. You are adopted into the same family. It is a gift that God has given you to become a part of His family. He didn't say that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your sins are washed away, you're now a stepchild that's left to sit out on the porch and I'll deal with you when I feel like it. You know, we hear the little fairy tales. Of course, one that we all think about is Cinderella, you know, and she had the evil stepmother and the stepsisters, and the stepsisters got everything and Cinderella got basically nothing, you know. And sometimes we may get treated that way by family. God does not treat us that way. When we are adopted into His family, we get full benefits. We get full blessings. We get access to what God has because we are His children. We have become His child. He goes on here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We become heirs with Christ. He goes on to tell us in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. He has made us kings and priests in His kingdoms. And that brings me to some gifts that we don't often think about. Hence the title of the message, Crowns. Kings and priests wear crowns, typically. And I was looking up in the dictionary about crowns and how they originated and various forms of them that have been over the centuries and how elaborate some were and how, you know, they impressed people. You know that God has promised us crowns? Think about that. We look about and we think about, you know, like for example, one monarch that I can think about who has been one of the longest serving monarchs in the British Empire, if my memory serves me correct, and that's Queen Elizabeth. And she wears a crown. That's a symbol of her authority. And of course, there are people who live in other countries that they have a king or a queen and they wear a crown as a symbol of their authority. And so it is, if you read up and study on the subject of crowns, you find out that was in many cases with even people other than those that were considered to be kings or queens. But here's one of the crowns that God has promised to us, because He promised us more than one crown. Did you know that? More than one. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You know, if you stop to think about this, he's talking about a race. When somebody runs a race, how many winners are there going to be in that race? One. One winner. And they get the, quote marks, crown. They get the prize. They get the award or whatever it may be. In the Olympics, it used to be a little laurel wreath that went around the top of their head, and that was the crown that they put on them as the victor, as the winner. But you know what? Those crowns all fade away. They will eventually be corrupted. Something will eventually happen to them. But it tells us that all who run the race in this Christian race, all who cross the finish line are winners. All receive the crown. He has something laid up in store for us that he is going to give us a crown for. And it's going to be an incorruptible crown. It's not something that can fade away. It's not something that can be destroyed. It's not something that will pass into oblivion at some point, but it is something that he has given us that will last forever. He also talks about the crown of righteousness. What does the word righteous mean? It means in right standing. Right standing. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. If you love God, if you're a righteous person and your righteousness is not in you yourself, your righteousness is the righteousness that God dwells in you, that you have God in your heart and your life. God is the one who makes you in right standing. We cannot make ourselves in right standing, but God makes us in right standing. We've got him in our heart. We will stand before him that day, and we will have that crown that he's going to give us, the crown of righteousness. It's not something we can attain upon our own. It's not something that we can set out and say, well, I'm going to get me that crown of righteousness, man. It's going to happen that way. You only get that crown of righteousness because of what God has done in you to give you that right standing. Because if God wasn't in our life, if he wasn't dwelling in us, we'd all end up on the scrap heap. Now, that's kind of brutal sounding, but that's the way it would be. We would end up losers on a scrap heap. Nobody wants to hear the word loser anymore. Probably with the political correctness police out there, that word will be declared hate speech someday if you call somebody a loser. I got news. The world is full of losers, and there's always going to be losers. Not everybody can win in the things of the world. Only in the things of God can you win. And we are winners because of God dwelling in us. We receive that crown that he has in store for us, that he has laid up for us. Thirdly, the crown of life. James chapter 1 verse 12 said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. Anybody here ever been tried? You know, you go into a courtroom and somebody in that courtroom is going to be tried for something, whether it be whether or not they're guilty of a traffic ticket or letting their dog bark too loudly at 2 o'clock in the morning or for murder. Somebody's going to be tried for something that was violating a law. And we get tried in our daily lives too. We're put up against obstacles. There are things that come against us that the devil is going to throw at us. It's going to try to make us want to forget God and say, God has abandoned me. But God will never abandon us. The only way that we can be separated from God is for us to pack our bags, so to speak, and walk away. God is there for us. And we may go through some trials. We may go through some hardships. We may go through some times in our life when it seems like everybody has forsaken us. But God is still there. He's still there. He's still the one we can reach out to. He's still the one that will meet our needs. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You're going to get a crown of life. Oh, that life that God is going to give you, that life that we really can't even envision in this mortal body that God is going to give to it. Because let's face it, in this mortal body, there's problems in life. How many woke up this morning with an ache or a pain? Well, a good portion of the people here woke up this morning with an ache or a pain. That's life in this mortal body. Oh, but in that life that God has promised to us, we don't have to worry about those things. They won't exist. Revelations chapter 2 verse 10 says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And believe me, in this day and age that we're living in, we can see that happen. We're seeing it happen to Christians in other countries right now, being cast into prison simply because they declared they believed in Jesus Christ. That ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And whether that means be faithful until somebody comes and chops your head off, or you die of old age, whichever it is, be faithful unto death. That's what it takes. Being faithful unto death. It would be horrible if you lived your life as a Christian up until the last few moments of our last few days of your life and suddenly said, "I don't want anything else to do with God." And you went into eternity going the wrong way. And that's happened to people. There have been people that served God vast majority of their life, and then in their latter years, they turned their back on God. And were lost. Unfortunately, for those folks, there are no second chances. Then there is the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." A crown of glory. Oh, what a wonderful thing that God has laid aside for us. These crowns that He set aside for us. Crown of life, a crown of glory. The things that He has talked to us about here and told us about. But we're also given some warnings regarding our crowns, because it says in Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast thou which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And that's kind of what we just touched on a moment ago. There's people out there that's going to try to take your crown. There's people out there that's going to try to get you to fall. There's people out there that's going to try to get you to stumble. There's people out there that's going to try to get you to deny God. And we're seeing it more and more. Things being put out. False prophets, false teachers. Bible warns us about them. But yet person after person is falling for it. He wants to steal our crowns. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our life. Beware of those that would try to take your crown. We're also told one other thing about our crowns here. That we will one day cast those crowns at the feet of Jesus. Revelation 4:10 says that talks about here the 24 elders fall down before him and eat on the throne that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and forever and cast their crowns before the throne. Casting our crowns before him. Worshiping him, giving him glory because he deserves all glory. He deserves all the praise that we can give him. And not just when we are seated before him in the heavenlies, but right now he deserves our praise. He deserves our glory. He deserves the best that we can give him. Revelations 4:11, we are also told, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He created all things. I was thinking about all things the other day, driving down the road, and on our way back to our house from here, we go down a little country type road. We have to watch for animals on the road. Certain times of the year, really got to watch for deer on the road. Got to watch for little squirrels playing in the road. And sometimes other little critters that are out there playing on the road and don't get out of the way in time. And we've talked about, my wife and I have talked about some of these things. The little squirrel, one got scared yesterday as we were going down the road. And he ran across the road in front of us. Ran and jumped right onto another squirrel. And they went tumbling. And then they got up and ran. Because God made those creatures. He created them. Not only for his pleasure, but for our pleasure. He created those things. Oh, what a blessing God has laid out there for us. God has given us such a marvelous creation. Revelations 4:11. Excuse me, I just read that one. I want to read it to you again in the Holloman Christian Standard Bible, as I kind of like the way it read here. Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things, and because of your will, they exist and were created. God created all things. Well, I want to leave you with this thought. And I don't care who you are or who you think you are, because you know there's people out there that think they're a lot more than what they are. They have a high opinion of themselves, and maybe not everybody else shares that opinion, but we've talked about it, you know, that a person thinking that they were God's gift to humanity, you know, and stuck up on themselves really big time. I don't care how well you think of yourself. I don't care how much material good you may or may not have. Some people are rich. Some people are poor, and some people fall somewhere in between. But you are who you are, and you exist because of God. You exist because of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, and I looked this up in about 6 or 7 different translations, just wanted to see if there was any variation in the translations. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Out of all those translations I looked up, the only variation I found was there was an S on heaven in some of them, and it was heavens. And he created the heavens and the earth. God created it all. And then he so loved you. Out of all this creation, that he gave these gifts and made them available to you. And maybe you're listening to me today and you haven't thought a lot about God. Maybe you're listening to me and you've never given your heart to God. Maybe you're not even sure who God is. There are people out there in the world today that really are not sure who God is. But I want you to look around and think of all that God has done. And some talk about, well, you've got to have a lot of faith to believe in God. No, I think it takes more faith to believe in some of this other stuff that people put out there that try to eliminate God. Because let's face it, I can't believe that these things just happened because there was a big bang somewhere and all of this stuff just fell into place. Because first of all, I think if that were the case, we'd be seeing it happen over and over again, and it would happen. But God had a design, he had a plan, and he had a purpose. And his design, plan, and purpose included you. You were included in his plan and in his purpose. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day to accept him into your heart and into your life. And while every head's bowed, every eye is closed, I want to give you a moment just to consider your own life. Sometimes the enemy comes along and he tempts us. He bullies us. He throws obstacles in our path that cause us to fall away, or at least to try to cause us to fall away. Or maybe there's someone here today that's never known Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I don't know. But now is the time. Now is the time to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And Father, right now, as we pray for those that are listening to this word today, Father, if there's anyone that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart and speak to their life today. Father, if there's anyone that the enemy has been putting pressure on, has been putting temptation on, has been trying to cause to stumble and fall, I pray, Father, that you would lift them up, Father, and help them, Father, to set things right. And, Father, give their complete being back to you. Father, whatever the needs may be, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and lives right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us. Or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.